Many people are somehow or another inspired by this man who lived 800 years ago, and I think that it's because of the depth of his love, you know, for his fellow human beings and for all of creation, and his willingness to struggle for them and to struggle for a world that would look more like God's kingdom. You know, when you look and see the conversion of Francis, the process that he went through, he comes to the conclusion that he needs to live the gospel life. And he takes on that task with as much enthusiasm as he can muster. You know, and so when you look around, you know, his conversion, why did it happen? At least one of the reasons was because of the lepers that he saw in his own society. And, you know, the sight of the lepers, he said, it really nauseated him at the beginning, but then it became a sweetness for him. You know, once he saw it within this task of his to work for God's kingdom in this world. You know, and then I think most people, again, you ask why would people be influenced by him? I think most people, when they think about Francis and they think about Franciscans today, you know, they expect us to be concerned with peace, because that was one of the main themes that Francis promoted. You know, he used the greeting, "May the Lord give you peace," but it was more than a greeting for him. You know, if you look through the writings, Francis was always working concretely to bring peace to people. You know, whether it was in the city of Assisi, other Italian cities, the famous story of the Wolf of Gubbio, where Francis goes to Gubbio and converts the wolf that was killing people. You know, and also the famous story of Francis and the Sultan. You know, when the other Christians were fighting with the Muslims, Francis was there trying to promote peace. So I think people expect, you know, they see in Francis and expect of us work for peace, also against poverty, and also for creation, for our world, you know, for all the creatures that God gave us. So I think for these reasons, people are drawn to Francis.
And a big part of the questions of peace today involve interreligious dialogue. We know the conference at Assisi is coming up. Could you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, it was called, Pope John Paul II ended up calling the meeting and the movement, really, that he founded, the Spirit of Assisi, because he invited the heads of many different religions to come to Assisi and together to think about how we might be people of dialogue and of peace, of promoting these values in our world today. And he encouraged all of the religions to pray in their own way for peace, as he encouraged us, too, as Catholics, to pray for peace and to work for it. So the 25th anniversary of the Spirit of Assisi is this year, on the 27th of October. And as a Franciscan family, we really have encouraged our brothers and sisters to get involved locally with the celebration. And once again, Pope Benedict will be going. He will be going to Assisi to celebrate in the spirit of John Paul II, and in the spirit of the gospel, of what the gospel calls us to. You know, so the celebration of the 25th anniversary reminds us of a task that is perennial, that has to happen all the time. But in a special way, John Paul II, he chose Assisi because of the way that people identify Francis with this theme of peace and with the dialogue for peace. So I think that's why for us it's important. It's built right into our charism as Franciscans, and I would say into our charism as Christians. You know, when you look and see the gospel and the work of Jesus, you know, to bring peace among people, I think that we're all challenged to take up this work in our world today. And God knows all we need to do is read a newspaper or turn on the news to know that our world has not yet become God's kingdom. You know, so we need to be about this task of promoting peace, as Jesus did and as Francis, following in the footsteps of Jesus, also did in his life.
And you spoke too about St. Francis' commitment to the world and to creation, his appreciation of God's works. That's become an increasing part of Pope Benedict's message to the world. He speaks about ecological issues. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, certainly Pope Benedict has continued once again this tradition that started with John Paul II. John Paul II called us all to ecological conversion. And what he meant basically was that, you know, God has created all of us as part of the world, as part of this bigger creation. And, you know, scientifically, it seems that more and more our own human activity is interfering in the world. It's bringing about changes. And so there are very, very large movements to question the way that that we run our world economically, the way that we the ideas that we have about development and about constant growth, all of these call into question our lifestyle, the way that we live. And so I think that Pope Benedict is reminding us about that. You know, as Christians, we've always been concerned about our lifestyle and how that influences our spiritual life, you know, how we can grow in God or how maybe we can forget to grow in God because we become so enamored of the world and the things of our world. Francis loved creation. Francis loved the animals. Francis loved people. Francis loved everything that God created, and he promoted as much as he could the values that would help to maintain creation, to keep it the beautiful place that God gave us. You know, so I think in the spirit of Francis, we're all challenged to look and see what's going on in our world today and to ask ourselves what we can do. I think personally, there are things that we can do to change our own lifestyle. Communally, you know, as a Christian community or even as civil communities, we need to ask ourselves, you know, what are we doing to promote our world and to promote our brothers and sisters? You know, and so in this sense, you know, I think that we need to be concerned about the political realities of our world. You know, as Christians, we're not called to live with our head in another world. But I think with the eyes of Jesus, we're called to look at our world, to read the signs of the times, you know, about what's good and what's not good about the way that we do things, and then to really to put ourselves to the task, you know, of trying to bring about the changes that will make, you know, life better for everybody, you know, including God's creatures in this world. Jesus says that he comes to bring life in abundance. You know, if we look around the world, there are many things that surely do not promote life for people. You know, when you look around and see more than 1 billion people live on $1 a day, you can't do very much with $1 a day. You know, if you look at statistics, the hunger in the world is a scourge. You know, many people are dying of hunger. You know, what is it that we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, you know, what are we called to do to address those issues? You know, so I think that, you know, that in that sense, this is part of who we are. You know, the gospel of justice and peace really is an integral part of our life as Christians. And I think we all have a responsibility to know our world, to understand it, and to work together with people of goodwill, you know, to correct the problems that we have. I'm sure you're aware that next year the United Nations is sponsoring a big conference in Rio. It's called Rio Plus 20, because 20 years ago they had the Eco 92. And it was, again, it was looking at the problems of ecology in our world today. And I think that we need to do this, again, together with people of goodwill. You know, we're looking to see what we can do as a Franciscan family to become involved in this. And we'll do all that we can to promote it among all of our brothers and sisters, you know, as something that helps us to look at this idea of life for everybody.